From the newsrooms of WBUR and GBH, I'm Yasmeen Ammer, in this week for Paris Alston. Welcome to Consider This, from Boston, where we at least know one thing about the next mayor. It's that she will be a woman, and she will be the first mayor in nearly 30 years to have children in the city's public schools. GBH Radio's Meg Woolhouse has been reporting on how both candidates, Michelle Wu and Anissa Asaibi George, have made parenthood a major part of their campaigns. Meg joins us now to talk about it. Meg, thank you so much for being with us.
Thanks for having me on, Yasmeen.
So I also recently became a parent as of 14 months ago. I'm not quite thinking about the issues of school yet, but I would like to hear how the candidates have brought up motherhood and the way it shapes their politics.
Well, this should be of special interest to you then as a new mom. These moms, the mayor moms, are promising to fix what their male predecessors couldn't. And they're putting this momness, their momness, front and center. Asaibi George campaigns with the slogan, teacher, mother, mayor, although she doesn't say it quite like that. Teacher, mother, mayor is how she puts it. And Wu urges voters to put a Boston Public Schools mom in charge. Wu said in an interview that she felt the same relief many parents feel when they land a seat in the school they want for their young kid. Here she is now.
I cried the day that we got the email. It felt like a huge weight off of our shoulders.
And then there's Asaibi George. She's at the other end of her kids' schooling with four boys who all landed these much coveted spots in the city's exam schools.
We were very happy with those placements and it was good. Now they're high school kids, so they're a little, you know, life is challenging in different ways.
And so it's my understanding that it's been such a long time since any mayor of Boston has had such a personal stake in the city's public schools. Is that right?
That's right. You know, as you mentioned at the top, the last sitting mayor to have a child in Boston public schools was Ray Flynn nearly 30 years ago, and all but one of his children attended Catholic schools. So experts say these women represent progress. Often female politicians have been older and their children are grown because they know there's a double standard. And that double standard penalizes young moms for running. Voters have tended to think you can't have time to be an elected official and a mom. Not anymore.
Both women have truly brought the whole of their lived experience to the campaign trail.
That's Amanda Hunter. She's executive director of the Barbara Lee Family Foundation. She welcomes the shift in the way that women don't have to try to be like men to lead the city.
We know from our research that voters generally believe women are more in touch with kitchen table issues. So knowing that both women have children in the public school system shows voters that both women have a personal, different kind of stake in the school system than previous male mayors.
Yeah, and it's really important to kind of emphasize here that issues dealing with children and schools, like, they are not specific to women, and it's not like, you know, women have to take all the responsibility for those things, but they are making the argument that this is something that is so personally important to them because they have been, like you said, front and center of these issues. So they feel it. They don't just see it, they feel it. So let's talk about some of the specifics here. How is each candidate planning to run a district with 125 different schools that have been repeatedly criticized for deep racial inequalities and a persistent achievement gap for students of color?
Yeah, there are significant problems. And, you know, Asaibi George touts her past experience as a BPS teacher in East Boston and as a political insider who knows how to level the playing field. She also talks a lot about getting students the services they need, helping to bring more social workers into schools, and the desire, let's say, to limit busing and save money on that and send students to neighborhood schools closer to where they live. Her eldest son, as well as her triplets, went to Pope John Paul II Catholic Academy, which is the same elementary school she attended as a child. Now her two boys attend Boston Latin schools, and the other two are at Boston Latin Academy. And Asaibi George supports retaining the entrance exam for those schools. So does Wu, but she also says that the admissions process needs additional reforms to make it fair for students of color and economically disadvantaged kids. Wu was raised by Taiwanese parents in Chicago's suburbs. Her story is also well known. She raised her sister in Boston while attending Harvard Law School after her mother became mentally ill. Now, Wu's young sons are in kindergarten and first grade at the Charles Sumner School in Roslindale, where more than half the students are Hispanic. And Sumner meets or exceeds state expectations, but it also feeds into the Irving Middle School, which is among the bottom tier of schools in the state and slated to close.
My two boys have a lot of years ahead of them in BPS, and it brings such an urgency to making sure that we are moving things forward and changing these structures as quickly as possible.
So Meg, if you could look into a crystal ball and see how schools in Boston might change in the next mayor's term, how different do you think the outcomes would be depending on the candidate?
That's such a good question. Who doesn't want a crystal ball for BPS right about now? But I'd say much of that will depend on who wins and the candidate's very different approaches to the school committee itself. Asabi George essentially wants to continue appointing school committee members as mayors before her have done. And Wu has proposed allowing a majority of the school committee to return to being elected. And that could dramatically reshape the board's decisions around resources, equity, and programming.
Well, I'm not quite there, given how my kid is 14 months old. I'm thinking about daycare right now and that cost. But Meg, thank you so much for bringing us this perspective on the Boston mayor's race.
Thank you, Yasmin.
That's GBH education reporter Meg Woolhouse. Before I go, here's what else is up. A legislative committee is weighing several bills affecting inmates, including one that would establish uniform standards for corrections officers' use of force. State Senator Michael Barrett supports the bill and says we need more transparency in prisons.
There's nothing more mysterious, nothing more hidden from public view than the cell in an individual state prison.
Other bills up for debate would make it easier for inmates to be granted parole. Another would eliminate costs for phone calls. In other news, the Boston City Council has passed an ordinance that would give them oversight on surveillance technology used by police. If the measure is signed on by Acting Mayor Kim Janey, the council would be responsible for overseeing things like license plate readers, social media monitoring, and video surveillance. The Boston Police Department would also be required to issue reports on the effectiveness of the surveillance technology it uses. Kate Crockford with the Massachusetts ACLU says that's especially important for residents of color.
I'm looking forward to more information. Do cameras help police solve serious crimes like shootings or homicides in neighborhoods like Dorchester and Roxbury and Mattapan?
The ordinance would limit what information the Boston Police Department can get on public school students. The BPD did not immediately issue a comment on the ordinance. Meanwhile, East Hampton is the latest Massachusetts community that's pushing to decriminalize the possession of psychedelic drugs. The East Hampton City Council has passed a resolution on the matter. While psychedelics like LSD and psilocybin mushrooms are illegal under federal law, the enforcement for possession of such drugs would be among the lowest priorities for local police in East Hampton. City Councilor Owen Zarrett is co-sponsoring the resolution.
And I do really hope that what I seem to be happening, and that East Hampton's really lucky, I think, to be on the cutting edge of, is that this whole topic, I mean, this is the start of a movement.
Cambridge, Somerville, and Northampton have passed similar psychedelic measures. And finally, a high schooler from Andover is now U.S. women's chess champion. 18-year-old Carissa Yip won the national championship tournament this week. Yip says she's proud to represent Massachusetts.
I guess it's a little bit like when I play international tournaments and I'm representing the country. When I play like national level tournaments, I kind of feel like I'm representing my state. And it's always great to know that there's like people cheering me back on in Massachusetts. Hope I did Massachusetts proud with this one.
Yip is a senior at Phillips Academy in Andover. Love to hear it. So proud of her. From the newsrooms of WBUR and GBH, I'm Yasmin Ammer. Paris Alston will be back behind the mic the first week of November. See you again tomorrow. Hey there. A lot of people listen to Consider This at the end of the day, and NPR's up first in the morning. But a lot of actual news happens in the middle of the day, and the team bringing you the best information about that news as it happens is the team behind WBUR and NPR's show Here and Now. And yes, there is a podcast version. So want more of the best news reporting from public radio around the country? Check out Here and Now. Find it in the same place you found this podcast. Wherever you listen, just search Here and Now.